really fortunate this morning. Senator Sam McCanus joining us this morning in the studios. I thought I was going to be talking on the phone. I'm glad you got to the studio.
Hey, man. We are glad to be here. We have spent the last 2 weeks, the better part of the last 2 weeks, here in the Carbondale-Marion area, and we are glad and honored to be here with you this morning. Thank you.
Were you at the airport Saturday?
I was at the airport Saturday. Very proud to be there. Very honored to be there. It was a great speech. It was a great time. It was a great time to celebrate being an American. We've had, in my opinion, for the first time since Ronald Reagan, we have a president who is proud of our country and is in this to help the American people and not to help the people around the world.
Is that your singular takeaway from Saturday with Trump, or was there more that when it comes to takeaways?
Well, I think there's a lot more. I think that's probably the focus, but I think there's a lot more. I think he talks about wanting to help the world through our strength. You know, it's interesting that I remember NAFTA. I graduated high school in 1988, and with the NAFTA treaties that came through, I remember our guidance counselors telling us that we're going to be the first generation to probably have three or four careers. We won't retire from one particular job. And it's been an interesting ride. And I'll tell you what, I remember the election of 1992. So that's when Bush Sr. said, if I'm reelected, I'll sign NAFTA. Bill Clinton said, if I'm elected, I'll sign NAFTA. Ross Perot said the loudest sucking sound you will ever hear in your life will be all the good-paying, middle-class, working-class jobs leaving this country, and he was right. And so you can't be a city on a hill. You can't be the shining light to the world if you're constantly weakening yourself.
Right.
And that's what we've been doing for far too long, and that's what President Trump's trying to fix.
You know, when it comes to this, when I listen to you talk this morning, I find this interesting when you look at it on the complexion on the state level, that really what's driving you is the perceived or reality abandonment of conservative cornerstones by the Ronner administration.
That is correct. I think President Trump proved that you could win when you embrace the cornerstones of conservatism. Ronner has proven that you can't win when you run from them. He bought the party. He's been a lifelong Democrat until he decided to buy the party at a fire sale in 2014. He knew a good fire sale price when he saw one, and that's what he did. He bought it. But he's not a conservative. He's not even a Republican. You know, that's the thing, is there's not one plank in the Republican platform that he really checks the box on, because he's not a Republican. I am a conservative. I'm the only conservative in the race. I'm the only pro-lifer in the race. I'm the only one who is running for governor who says he will sign a bill to repeal House Bill 40. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I am the conservative candidate, the only conservative candidate, and we're running to win.
Do you think Republicans would have tolerated one cornerstone being pulled away, but not all of them? And when I say all of them, all right, not guns, okay? Well, it's because he signed that gun shop law, you know, stop that from going into effect.
Yeah,
but abortion, sanctuary status. I think you had a mailer that went out that said, you know, Ronner is now using your money to pay for abortions, or something very close to that.
Abortions have gone up 274% since House Bill 40 passed, a minimum of 274%. And it's abortion on demand, elective abortion on demand, paid for by taxpayer dollars. I think the Republican Party would have been willing to have forgiven him for one sin, but he doesn't check the box on any of the planks in the platform. You talk about the Second Amendment stuff. Yeah, the gun shop law, that's great. But then he signs the bill that says if your neighbor gets mad at you and calls the state police and says, I feel threatened by my neighbor, they can come and take your guns without any due process. He signed that bill. He's a gun grabber, because that's who he is and that's what he is.
But you and I both know, as a conservative, really, very often when it comes to conservative principles, it is the issue of how you handle your wallet. $6,993,013,235.33 in back bills as of today. It's just under $7 billion, which it was yesterday. We had a substantial tax increase, but we haven't seen a substantial drop in the debt. Now, sure, we have, because we sold bonds and some other stuff at lower interest, but it's around $7 billion. We had a huge tax increase, and the bill backlog's not going down, Sam.
And that doesn't count the $9 billion in bonds they sold to bring that down. That bill backlog would actually be about somewhere in the neighborhood of $16 billion. That's really what it is.
I never see that $9 billion move to another column.
You're exactly right. And so it's basically they took out a credit card to take care of that. And so we really have the debt. We're still paying. Now, we are paying lower interest, if we had left it alone, but we're still paying interest and we still owe it. So really the bill backlog is about, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $15, $16 billion. That being said, there's one way to get rid of Madigan. There's one way to balance the budget if the General Assembly doesn't want to cooperate with you. The governorship of Illinois is probably the most powerful governorship in the nation. If it's not the most powerful, it's definitely
when
in
it comes
top
to executive powers and the building for line item vetoes.
Exactly. Yes. Line item veto. We also, you not only have the veto, you have the line item veto. The president of the United States has been trying to get the line item veto for the last 200 plus years.
Right.
Doesn't have it. We also in Illinois have something called the amendatory veto, where you basically get to rewrite a bill if that's what's called for. You also have something called the reduction veto. So the line item veto, you have to line item out that entire line. And with a reduction veto, you can go through the budget and you can reduce a line by what you can't add to it, but you can reduce it by whatever number you want.
Senator, what you're saying is he could have exercised extraordinary financial control over the state of Illinois and failed to do so.
That is exactly what I'm saying. And I will not fail to do so. If the people give me the opportunity to govern, I will use those extraordinary powers. Now, I will work with the General Assembly. I have an idea that I call zero-based budgeting. In the state of Illinois, we don't use zero-based budgeting. Zero-based budgeting is what we use in our homes and our businesses around the state.
It's called reality.
It's called reality. You don't start with last year's number and then add a multiplier. That's what they do in Springfield currently. What I suggest we do is we start at zero for every line item, and we require the directors of those departments and agencies to justify every single penny of spending. And we go from zero up. We don't start at last year's number. We don't say, well, last year was $36 billion, so next year needs to be $38 billion. We start at zero, and we justify every thin dime. If I can't get the General Assembly to engage in that plan with me, I will use the extraordinary powers that the Constitution of the state of Illinois grants the governor, and I will balance the budget with the reduction veto and the line item veto.
What happens if the state of Illinois is taken over on every level by Democrats?
Well, it already has been. You got Bruce Rauner as governor, and you got Mike Madigan in the speakership. Look what happened. Look at what has happened. We have a higher tax rate. We have abortion on demand. Bruce Rauner has signed bills that Pat Quinn was too conservative to sign. Pat Quinn told his Democrat colleagues in the General Assembly, don't send me those bills. I can't sign that. Bruce Rauner took away the right of conscience, right? You know, the Right of Conscience Act that says if somebody walks into a healthcare facility and says, I want an abortion. If you can't do it here, tell me where to go to get it. Before Bruce Rauner signed this bill, this Democrat bill, the employees in that facility had a right to say, I'm exercising my right of conscience. I'm not going to talk to you about that. We don't have that in Illinois anymore because of Bruce Rauner. Democrats have taken over this state. That's the problem.
All right. And so, but back to the money issue, because you and I have not talked on pensions. It was kind of interesting. I saw rather reports and forgot what the number was. It was huge, like 70,000 people with over $100,000 a year pensions. We have a pension problem in the state of Illinois. A lot of promises have been made. How do we overcome this? I mean, is that singular executive privilege when it comes to financial issues? Can you cut yourself out of a budget a hole like this?
First of all, I think we need to realize that most of the pensioners in the state are the people who guard the prisoners in the correctional facilities, or the people who take care of our roads out here, the people who go out in the middle of winter and do the work that a lot of us don't want to do. So they have done everything that they were ever supposed to do. They have made every deposit, every payment came out of their paycheck like clockwork. The reason we have this pension issue is because the politicians of the past robbed the pension systems blind. If this would have happened in the private sector, if Illinois were a corporation, a for-profit corporation, the board of directors would be in prison right now. But in the state of Illinois, the politicians get reelected and reelected and reelected and made president of the Senate and speaker of the House, and that's the problem. So right now we're operating under the 1995 pension rant. That was an inherently flawed system to begin with. It said that the pension systems will be fully funded by 2045. Well, what they did was they gave themselves, for about the first half dozen years or so, they gave themselves extraordinarily low payments, and then this ramp that's turned into a wall.
And basically a balloon payment at the end.
That is correct.
A balloon payment, and a balloon payment that is equal to or exceeds the entire state budget.
Correct. You are correct. And so there's only one constitutional and moral way to fix the pension system or the pension crisis that we have. And that is we extend that ramp, because the ramp, while the Constitution says pensions cannot be diminished or impaired, but the ramp is not in the Constitution. It's a statute. It's a law. So it can be amended. So the ramp we turn it into a real ramp. So what we do is we extend the horizontal axis of that ramp. We pick a date in the future. Maybe it's 2055, 65, 75. I'm negotiable on that number as long as we're still making positive growth in the pension systems.
And then front load that?
And that, I don't think we need to front load that.
Yeah.
I believe that actually if we extend that axis and lower the inclination of that ramp, I believe that will free up working capital in the here and now, and will get us on a road to sustainability.
One of the questions that's very often posed to me, as a matter of fact, I'll be asking the governor when he joins us on Thursday in this time slot, is one of the prison workers reached out to me, and the message was, ask the governor, and I want to ask you now, Sam, Senator Sam McCann joining us this morning, why are you trying to balance the budget on the back of state workers? That relationship between RONER and the union, AFSCME, and correctional unions, has not helped the governor.
It's not helped him at all, and it's actually not helped anyone in the state of Illinois, because it helped lead to that two-year period of time that we didn't have a budget, which actually cost us over $1 billion in late penalties and interest. And so it's not only has it not helped Rauner politically, it has hurt the people of the state holistically, and it's definitely, he declared war on these people. And you know, when you stop and think about these correctional officers, many of them are veterans. They're very conservative people. I mean, I go to these Friends of NRA events, I go to the turkey banquets, the whitetail banquets, half the people there are correctional officers and IDOT workers. This was actually his base. In downstate Illinois, that's your base. He declared war on his base. It's called not reading the room properly. But see, this is the interesting thing. This is where I said earlier that he doesn't check the box on any of the planks in the platform. It's not only on the social issues. You know, I have a lot of people say to me, well, at least Rauner wants to get rid of the unions. Guess what? That's not in the Republican platform. I have a copy of the Republican platform in my pocket right here. There's not one plank that the word union or the term organized labor isn't even in there. So this whole concept of declaring war on unions, that isn't even in the Republican platform.
Progressive taxes, J.B. Pritzker. That's got people upset. The property taxes that we pay now, or even if you have your house paid, you still got to pay the state to keep it. The out-migration, excess of 130,000. Chicago, the only top 10 metro city in the United States that lost population. Another 10,000 students no longer going to school. Last year, it was 11,000 who left. Illinois, some people call it a death spiral. But if you live here and you love it like so many of us do, we don't want to leave, but it doesn't make any difference. At some point, financial necessity drives you away from your home, and that's what I see in Southern Illinois.
I see it also. I see it. I've been to every single county. We've been to or through every single county in the state. The good news is there's a lot more that unites us than divides us, but unfortunately, we have a political system that thrives off dividing us.
Inherently adversarial.
And inherently adversarial. I think if the people would realize that we need to do something different, both parties at this point have failed us. Now, I think the Republican platform is a beautiful thing. The problem is there's Republican leadership in the state of Illinois that either doesn't know what's in its own platform or doesn't care or is trying to abandon it. So the platform is a beautiful thing, but the parties themselves are destroying our state. If the people will give me an opportunity to lead, I guarantee you that you will like the results. And if you don't, in 4 years, I also guarantee you that both parties will be lined up to take the position back.
I've actually seen it within the last 20 hours that you being referred to as a tool of the Democratic Party. Now, you and I spoke about that last time, and I know you did not react well to it. But it doesn't change the fact that aspect. How do you address it when people ask? Because if you weren't listening last time around, Sam went into quite explicit detail on this.
Yeah, so I am not being used as a tool of the Democratic Party. I don't know Mike Madigan. I'm a downstate conservative who serves in the Senate. I've met the man twice over the last 8 years, briefly each time. I don't know J.B. Pritzker. There's no deal. I'm in this because I want to save the state of Illinois. I want to work together with the people of Illinois, those of us who you mentioned earlier, just a few minutes ago, who are here. We love our state. We don't want to leave. So a lot of people are having to leave. We don't want to leave. We want to save the state. I am in this to win it. I'm in it to govern with conservative principles. I will join with the Trump administration. I'm the only. Think about this. Rauner and Pritzker both say, Pritzker says he'll protect us from Trump, and Rauner won't even say the name Trump. Neither one of these guys want anything to do with the president of the United States. Well, who do they think is we're going to have to partner with when it comes to rebuilding the roads, when it comes to rebuilding the waterways, when we're talking about our education system? I am loud and proud that I look forward to working with President Trump as the conservative governor of Illinois, and we're going to rebuild Illinois, and we're going to make it great again.
Well, how do we convince people that we can do this, that it can be done, that Illinois is not, you know, that the light at the end of the tunnel is not a train? I mean, how do you do that? Because it's interesting, downstate, you know, we got this habit. We've danced to this tune for so long. We need jobs. We need jobs. We need jobs. When, in fact, we have jobs now. Now people are having a hard time finding anybody who wants to do the job. I mean, it's really and so that you get so ingrained into this dance, right? We need jobs. Illinois is failing. That's another dance. How do you change the tune into that dance? Is it financial? Is it emotional? Is it done through leadership? Is it done through example? I mean, how do you shape what people think about this state?
It definitely is done through leadership. It takes leadership. We have way too many politicians, not enough public servants or leaders. It takes real leadership. And here's what we have done. When people say, well, you know, Sam, okay, I'll believe that you're a conservative and you're in it to win it. But how are you going to win the state of Illinois? How are you going to do that? We have actually created the closest thing to an electoral college situation that the state of Illinois has ever seen and probably ever will see. So one of the reasons I didn't run in the primary is I wasn't worried about beating Rauner. I felt like we could beat Rauner, but then I knew that I'm as a very conservative downstater, I would be going up against one of the wealthiest men in the world in what looked like was going to be a blue wave year. I don't necessarily believe that anymore, but it's what it looked like.
In a blue state.
In a blue state.
But when you are down this end of the state, we don't think about it as being a blue state.
Exactly. Yeah. When you get outside, when you get west of 39 and south of 80, it's a red state. There's no doubt about it. And so what we have done is if we can get the people who traditionally, I definitely vote Republican at every other office, but when it comes to that governor's office, give us your vote, and I'll guarantee you, you will like what you see. I'm going to ask for your vote this time, and the next time I will have earned it. Here's the deal. We can take the Republican base, we can take the base of people that we already have, and I think there's probably 6 or 7, maybe 8 percentage points that J.B. Pritzker currently enjoys of his lead is due to a lot of downstate moderates and conservatives who are state employees or union employees, and they're scared to death of Rauner. They don't want to vote for J.B. Pritzker, but they're being forced to decide whether they're going to vote their ethics or whether they're going to vote their job, and they're voting their job. I have made inroads into organized labor, and I can get that 6, 7, or 8%. If I couple that with the Republican base, with the base of support I already have, we beat J.B. Pritzker. J.B. Pritzker has not polled over at 50% or over 50% this entire time.
Usually that's 33, right?
See, that's the thing. He has not hit 50% yet. He should be enjoying it. He should be at 60%, but he's not because the people know he's not the right person for the job.
The undecided vote's going to be important this year, man.
If you will give me your vote, I guarantee you, you will like what you see.
I want to give you additional 30 seconds here. If this is the last time somebody gets to hear a message or see anything in their mail, they get to hear Senator Sam McCann, why you should be governor of the state of Illinois, not why you should go over Rauner, why you should go over all the other candidates. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds. Distill it down to its base element for me, Sam.
Yeah, I'm running for the governorship because I feel called to lead. I believe if you give us the opportunity, you will see that I'm the only person in the race who wants to make Illinois stronger. The other people want to make the Democratic Party stronger, or the Republican Party stronger, or the Libertarian Party stronger. I'm not going there to make any party stronger. I'm going there to make our state and her people stronger. We can rebuild this state if we work together.
Senator Sam McCann, Conservative Party.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
It's good to have you in the studio.
Yes, sir.
How important was what Jeannie Ives did in the primary to what you're doing now? Did you get a sense that this is an opportunity, that I see that the people are out there and the support is there?
I definitely think she definitely made the path broader and wider. Again, I thought about running in the primary, but my reason for not running in the primary was because, as I just laid out a moment ago, I didn't believe that a downstate white male conservative was going to be one of the wealthiest men in the world in Illinois in 2018. But I do believe by dividing the vote the way it is across the state at this point, we've created this electoral college situation, and we can win.